I left my cell phone at home by accident. And those of you that know me well, I'm the type of person that I always know where my phone is. In fact, you probably just heard it go off. Everybody's been trying to get a hold of me. You know, I left my phone at home, and I knew I had left that at home. And so I wasn't as nervous as I would have been had I actually lost my phone, which I have done before. Now, had I lost it, I probably would have been in quite a panic. You know, throughout the day, I kept patting the back of my pocket, which is where I normally keep my phone. And each time I did that, I was reminded, oh yeah, I left it at home. It almost is like an extension of me, and I kind of feel naked without it, because it's always around. So this incident sparked two thoughts for me. You know, my first thought was, boy, I wonder if anybody else, you know, feels this way when they lose their phones, which I'm sure they do. So I did a little research, and it's true. People are addicted to their phones. And a study by the Huffington Post, posted on 2012, found this online. It says, how many times a day do you check your smartphone? According to the Mobile Mindset Study conducted by a security app, 58% of U.S. smartphone owners check their phones at least every hour. And a large share check their phones while in bed or in the bathroom. Don't want to borrow anybody's phone. And it goes on to state, in some catastrophic event and people were to lose their device, 73% of people admit they would feel panicked, while another 14% said that they would feel desperate. Desperate over a piece of electronics. And in fact, there is actually a scientific name for this type of panic attack. It's called nomophobia. So it goes on to say that Americans have a unhealthy, obsession with their mobile devices. You know, this made me stop and contemplate not so much my phone usage, which is probably a little bit on the high side, but it sparked my second thought. What about God? How often do I clothe myself with God's word? Am I constantly seeking God day in and day out? Am I in touch with him as much as I am with my cell phone? Do I give him as much thought and attention? If I use my phone so much, how much more should I be using God's Holy Spirit, which I have from God? And it's not an electronic. It's not something tangible that you can touch. And it's really not so much about cell phones. You can drop what any other thing that you have that you spend a great amount of time on. You know, it's easy to lose focus on the more important things in life, such as building our relationship with God, building our relationship with others. If we are not cognizant of the way we think or spend our time, we could actually lose out on becoming God beings. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 10, beginning verse 9, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, and Paul here is speaking about the children of Israel and how they lost their focus. It says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our, mine and yours, admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest you fall, or he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So we have Paul's warning here about the children of Israel and how exactly we can overcome that. So how can we change so that we are not in that same boat? Ephesians 6, and verses 7 and 10. Nope, that's the wrong scripture. The scripture I was looking for talks about the armor of God and how we can be clothed with armor so that we are ready for battle. And when we make that effort to be clothed, we can be assured that we will win our battles. Deuteronomy 20 and verses 3 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Victory. It's a powerful word. It means we don't have to worry about not winning. So what else can we do? Turn to Psalms 39 and verse 1. David had a few ideas and situations that he prayed to God about. And not only that, but God deemed those prayers worthy enough to be written in the Holy Bible. Psalms 39 and verse 1, David says, "I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me." So David was always careful about what he was saying. Psalms 101 and verse 2. Psalms 101 and verse 2 and 3 says, "I will behave wisely in a perfect way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away." So David was also careful about what he looked at, what was going into his mind. Also, Psalms 19 and verse 12 says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and then I will be blameless, and I will be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we need to take the time to examine our lives in depth and with real sincerity, asking God to show us the way to righteousness. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming very quickly, and it would be best if we were in a spiritual mindset, the right spiritual mindset, so that we could take in the abundance of watering that we will be receiving when we go to the feast. And we have all the tools, the entire Bible. We just need to make sure that we are spending the right amount of time using those tools, putting them into action. For final scripture, Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 and 47, I'll read it for you. He says, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And he said to them, take to heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life.